I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verse 7. And we are going to talk about something very, very important. I think it can really help all of us. And I don't want to tell you the title right away, but you'll discover in a little bit. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We have seen this scripture come time after time after time in this series that we're doing, how to, what we learn from the book of Proverbs. So let's close our eyes and pray this morning. Father, I ask you that you would help us today to hear your voice, to hear you speak into our lives, whatever we are in our relationships, in our lives, in our walk with you. God, I ask you, just help us, please. Help us, God, that we would speak things that I don't say, that you can just minister to our hearts. Help us to walk from being foolish into being wise people, into living by your word. Lord, I ask you to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen. So in this series, we've been talking about how to organize your life, how to have good friends, the finances, our work, your kids, and everything. But I want you to see if you can discover today what is the subject that we're going to talk today here. So what are we going to talk today about? What do you think? It starts with M.
Marriage.
Exactly. How to have a good marriage. The last Friday, maybe you celebrated or not, I really wanted to do something with Katie for our 14, for the 14th of February, for our Valentine's Day, and we didn't. She said we don't have the finances this month, but next month is our anniversary, and then we can do it. So she's always looking ahead, you know, she's always planning ahead. And next month we're going to celebrate 24 years of marriage. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's a good thing. I wish to one day celebrate, I don't know, 70, something like that, with the same wife. I always say I have four kids and one wife, and I'm still saying that. I hope it stays like that forever, and not the second and the third. But we're going to talk about marriage today. And I can tell you, I've learned a few things. We're going to talk about four F's that we need in our marriage as Christians. The first one is faith. We're going to talk about forgiveness, very important, forgiveness. We're going to talk about being friends, and we're going to talk about having fun also. So why is it so important in the subject of faith that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Because the Bible says that the foolish person despises wisdom, not being smart or intelligent. I've been saying this through the whole series. You want to be smart, go to school. You're smart, you get good grades. But when you are wise, you get what? A good life. Amen? A good life is very important. You can be smart and be an evil person, and you can be not wise at all. So why is it so important? I asked last week, Katie, and I looked at her eyes, and I think I knew what she was going to say. I wasn't sure. I knew what's going to be my answer. But I asked her, I said, honey, if you and me were not being Christians for all these years, if Christ would not be in our lives, do you think that we would still be married? And I thought maybe she was going to give me one of those, you know, because we went through some very rocky seasons. Or maybe she was going to give me this, you know. But she gave me this. Like, it was like the face, you know. And we all make faces. It's like, are you crazy? Why are you even asking? You know the question. That's why it's so important that we have faith in Christ, in God. And that brings wisdom in our lives. Because when we went through the things that we went through, and I'm talking from my own experience, if we would not say God can heal from everything, God says that we have to forgive, God says that we can have victory over our anger, God says that he can give us a good marriage, God says that marriage should be for our whole entire life, God says, if you would not, I'm telling you, if we would not have Christ in our lives, the beginning of wisdom is what? Fear of the Lord, to honor God. I need to tell you, when you dishonor God, he will never honor you. Are you here with me? God doesn't just honor and blesses everybody because he's so nice and so cool. You would not do that with your own kids. You would not say, the ones who cleaned the room and the ones who did not clean the room, they're all going to get paid. They're all going to get the reward. They're all going to be. No. Because God only wants us to honor him, not just so much for him, but for our own good. And God never celebrates this honor. He needs to be the center of our life, not only of our families. Remember, we talked about how to have kids you enjoy. Some centers of some families are money. Some are sports. Some are good grades. Some are laziness and leave me alone and all that stuff. But we say that God needs to be the center of our life. And when God is the center of our marriage, what is the priority is the wisdom of the Word of God. I want to tell you, you're going to go through stuff maybe in your marriage that if you don't apply what the Bible says, that could be the factor that this determines if your marriage stays together or not. Completely like that. That's why we have so many divorces in this world. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:14, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. I need to confess to you, I've been married for almost 24 years, but there were many years in the beginning of our marriage that I did not know and that I did not saw how hard was my heart towards my wife. A hard heart is all you need to destroy and to divide in any relationship. Because when you have a hard heart, it's always about what? What I want and what I need and what makes me happy, and you are wrong. The Bible says that Moses, God never intended divorce, but Moses had to lead millions of people through the desert, and it was a mess. People who were married, who were sleeping with others, and who was still married, and who was with who. And the Bible says that God allowed Moses to give them a letter of divorce for one reason. What was the reason? Because the heart of the people was what? Hard. The heart of the people. Allow me to tell you, I talked to a lot of couples over all this, some bunch of years of marriage, of being a pastor. It's so easy to help a couple where both of them have a soft heart and want to do all the changes they need to fix their marriage. It's easy. When you're trying to help couples who the heart is hard, they keep coming. And they don't change. They keep what? Blaming the other person. Look at this. Adam was alone in the garden. For how long? We don't know. Where was Satan the whole entire time where Adam was alone in the garden? He existed already. He had made a mess of this world already. The Bible says there was a mess when God came to start creation before he created Adam. Adam waits until, Satan waits until Adam and Eve, a married couple, comes into this world, and then he comes to mess up everything. Are you following me here? Because Satan knows that you alone are a piece of cake for him. It's so much easier. Husbands, how many times have you left your family or your spouse for 2 or 3 days? For a week. Isn't that when we feel the most temptation in our lives to look and say and think and entertain? Are you here with me? Am I? When you are alone, even as a married person, when you get alone, you go on a trip for a week, you go on a trip for 2 weeks, you do whatever. Satan does not show up in the garden till Adam and Eve are there. Because he's the master of what? Of division. He divided heaven took some angels with him, a third of the angels. He divided Adam and Eve. He divided the two sons that they have. He makes a mess. And Satan shows up in this world after what? Marriage. After marriage. That's what I'm saying. The first point is the faith. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. But whoever hardens his heart will fall into what? Calamity. If your marriage is struggling, if you're always striving and always fighting and always arguing, I can promise you there is at least one of you who has a hard heart. One of you. Have you tried to make fire with two sponges? What do you need? Something very hard. And the interesting thing is that the devil does not care if you go into hot wars or into cold war. Have you heard about the cold war with Russia that we had many years ago? What is the hot war? We fight, we argue, we call each other's name, we kick in the door. Have you ever been there? You know, everybody's mad. Somebody's walking out of the room. That is hot war. But there is another one, and there is a lot of Christians who pick that one because they think it's not so bad, and it's what? It's the cold war in marriage. What is the cold war in marriage? We don't talk to each other anymore. And my dad used to say this, and I never forget it. He used to say, when there is a problem in the communication in a couple, that's not the real problem. There is another problem that is causing the lack of communication in that couple. Are you here with me? So the devil doesn't care if you have hot war or what? Or cold war. All he wants is what? To divide you. Because when he divides you, then you're alone and you become an easy prey for him. We got really serious in this room. Is everybody married here? If you're not married, for the single people, there is a lot of hope for you. If you live by the wisdom of God, because I can tell you, I don't want a divorce. I want my marriage. My marriage, thank to God, is better and better and better. But the Bible says, blessed is the one who fears the Lord. Circumstances does not determine the condition of your heart. Your heart is hard and that's it. Or your heart is soft. Circumstances around you don't establish the condition of your heart. The condition of your heart is going to establish or determine the outcome of your circumstances. It's not because the mother-in-law, it's not because the finances, it has all to do with our heart. We have a hard heart or we have a soft heart. And I can tell you this as a pastor. I see people who are hard with the husbands or the wives. They are hard with everybody around them. It's a hard condition. It's a hard condition. And God says, don't have a hard heart. Proverbs 31:11 says, the heart of her husband, what? Trusts in her, and he will not lack of gain. What is the problem of trust? What is it? In the what? In the heart. What is the problem with pornography? What is the problem with being mean, with being selfish? What is the problem with unfaithfulness? What is the problem with pride? It's all where? It's all where? In our hearts. You don't need a new spouse. What you need is what? A new heart. A new heart. And some of us, if you're as dumb as I used to be, until you don't go through some pain, when you're very foolish, I said the last week, I think, the foolish person needs to go through horrible pain to make some changes, if he's really enough humble. But the wise person goes to wisdom, goes to the Word of God, goes to the Holy Spirit. Don't wait for terrible pain to come into your marriage. Circumstances don't determine the condition of your heart. And Moses gave the letter of divorce because one reason. And I want to park there for a few seconds. Divorce in the Bible was not the will of God, but was, so it would, they had to have some, so who is going to be married? Who is divorced? Who can remarry? It was a mess for Moses. I cannot even imagine. But there was one reason. Listen, please. There was one reason who was bringing all the problems in marriages. What was it? A hard heart. And only God Almighty can show us through His Holy Spirit where we are. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Is to be praised. Only God can change our heart. God is looking, and I wrote this down because God is looking at the details of what's going on in your heart a lot more of all the details of all the makeup and all the lighting and all the whatever you have to put into what? Into our social media picture. Do you take pictures on social media? You know? I'm not against social media. But that's why the Bible said the problem, if they would have social media back in those days, that's the same thing. It says, charm is deceitful and beauty is what? Vain. The woman who fears the Lord is the one who is going to be what? Praised. Is the one who is going to be praised. Let's go to the second point, forgiveness. We're going to talk about reality, repentance, and reward. What is the reality? Proverbs 29. The Bible says, who can say, I have kept my heart pure? Who can say that? I am clean and without sin. So what's the reality? We are all what? We are all sinners. Amen? We all sinners. Nobody can say, my heart is pure. I was born, I grew up, and I kept my heart pure, and there is no sin in my life. So we're talking about forgiveness, and the first thing is reality. So the reality is that we are all sinners. But here is a question. Are you more aware of the sins of your spouse or of your own sins? See, that's the difference in between the what? The humble, wise, fearing God person and the foolish, prideful, know-it-all, I'm better than others, foolish person. I don't know where you stand, but I can tell you honestly, for me it's so easy to be aware of the sins or the things that bother me or hurt me or I don't like of my wife, Katie. She can tell you that. Anybody, that's my tendency is not to see what's wrong. I was struggling with something today in the morning about something that was going on that I did not like. And my mind automatically went to blame in my mind, whose fault is this? Because this is not happening the way I want it to happen. And my mind automatically went to whose fault is it? And at that moment, I was standing over there and the Lord told me, you're not being wise. And you are just look, and the Lord told me, look how you think, how you work up here. So where are you in this picture? Are you more aware of the things that bothers you of others or the things that bother you about? Let me see the people that are married. Let me see the people, the hands of the people that are married. Thank you. For many years, I struggled with that, and I still do. And there was a season when we were going through a lot of counseling many years ago that I told Katie, you know what? I'm done with all this frustration, all these things, and I'm always starting the fights, and I'm always, you did this, and you said this, and this. And so I took somebody's advice and said, the only time I'm going to come with the complaints of what hurt me and bother you is Monday morning when we drink coffee. My day of drinking, not the day drink coffee with Katie, but it's the day that we try to rest and have a time together. And it was so hard for me to wait from Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday till Monday morning, because I'm naturally aware of the things that bother me. You're naturally aware of the things that bother you from others? Yeah, it's quick. But what I recognize is that when I start doing this, I'm going to wait till Monday to talk to Katie. I would say at least 9 of every 10 things that I wanted to start the fight, I never talked to her about it, because the Holy Spirit was showing me and telling me that I was no better, and I had to forgive, or I was making. One of the big problems I have as a married man is I make a bigger deal of what things really are. Are you following me here? Can I use a phrase that my mom used? So my mom is a very good person, a very good Christian, but she's very German also. And she used to tell me, she used to tell me this when I was small. She would say in German, "No, don't say it," Katie said. It's a funny word, okay, the first one. You making an atomic bomb out of a, I'm not going to say the word, but it starts with F, I think. You're making an atomic bomb out of a fart, my mom would tell me. And I'm 47, and I still struggle in a marriage because I easily can make an atomic bomb out of what? Gas. So reality. But the other thing that we need to have in a marriage in the subject of forgiveness is repentance. Proverbs 14:16 says, "One who is wise is cautious and what? Turns away from evil. But a fool is reckless and careless." Talking about repentance. One who is wise is cautious. Pay attention to the tension. Pay attention to the tension going on in your marriage. Because if you are wise, you are what? You're cautious. You just don't go and run and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. And so that's why we need to repent and say, "I'm sorry, forgive me." If you want to have a good marriage, you have to stop punishing your spouse for the things that they do against you. It is so easy to punish somebody. And one of the ways of punishing people in relationship is what? Is not talking to them. Cold war. I'll punish you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm not going to have intimacy with you. I'm not going to. This is cold war. And Jesus Christ, who forgives you and me of my sins, does he punish you after you did something and you ask for forgiveness? Now, if I'm drinking drunk and I kill myself, that's a consequence of my decision, but really a punishment. When it comes to forgiveness, sometimes we say, "God forgives me." He does not punish. God does not punish me. If he would punish me for every thought and everything I say and do that is ungodly, I tell you, I would not be alive. But some of us, because our pride and our hurt, we climb on this chair and say, "You know, God does not punish me for my sin, but I'm going to punish my wife. And I'm going to put myself in a higher place, and I'm not going to talk to them. Or I'm going to remind them 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years later, I'm going to remind them what they did 5 months ago." Are you following me here? That destroys marriages. It destroys marriages. Forgiveness is so important. And in forgiveness, we have to know that God will reward you If you forgive and let it go, and love and forgive. Proverbs 13:21, the Bible says, disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are what? Rewarded with good. Disaster pursues sinners. When we don't forgive, when we hold crutches, when we remember the past. Have you known couples who end up like really, really bad? And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but there's always a lot of pride and a lot of sin and a lot of ungodliness and foolishness who pursues the one that is not merciful, but the righteous are what? Rewarded with good. The best thing you can do is what? Is forgive. It's good for you, amen? The best thing you can do is ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. It's not easy. I struggle with that. It wasn't that big. Because there is one thing that I struggle when I make a mistake. What is it? Pride. I got to tell my son, forgive me for getting mad at you and repeating 5 times the same thing when you said on the first time, yes, Dad, you're right, but I keep... That's not that horrible. I know parents who do a lot worse than that. But the Bible says there is a reward. There is a reward for those who know to repent and know to forgive others. Righteous are rewarded with good. Only forgiveness with the help of the Holy Spirit. And the place of total healing might come in the future, but you have to start somewhere. Christianity is all about what? Forgiveness. And you as a Christian will never have a good marriage until you don't apply forgiveness. Because the truth is, anybody you're in relationship with, sooner or later, they will hurt you. Anybody old like me who knows that's the truth... Anybody you're in relationship, your kids, your spouse, your mom, your dad, your neighbor, the people in church, the people that we work with, your past, anybody you have a relationship, sooner or later, they will hurt you. Look at somebody next to them and tell them, Christianity is all about forgiveness. And marriage is the perfect place to start practicing. Pride destroys everything in our lives. Being humble will build everything in a very godly way. The third point is friendship. Friendship is so important. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many companions or a man with many women or too many friends or too many advisors who are not good will come to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer to what? To a brother. What is the devil constantly trying in our marriage? To keep us closer or to what? To divide us. To divide us, amen? So we talk about friendship. A friend sticks closer to a than a brother. We all want our spouses to be our best friends, but what is the quality of our friendship with our spouses? Do you believe really that your spouse should be your best friend? Yes or no? I really believe so. I've seen too much of the other happening. When somebody else shows up, and when there is an emotional connection, the physical is just happening, boom, right there and there. She doesn't even have to be that pretty, or he doesn't even have to be that good looking. You have a heart connection, you become super friend with somebody, and the most automatic thing that's going to happen is, wow, we really get along. Wow, somebody who 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, did not look pretty, now they look pretty. Now do you even think, wow, I think I would enjoy kissing that person. Can I just be honest with you? I think she feels something for me. I think I can go somewhere here. I think we might end up in bed. That would be awesome. No, it would not be. It would destroy terrible things. But that's how our mind thinks. So most of couples want to have that friendship. My question is, did you grow up with parents who were best friends? I have parents who were best friends. It did not help me in one area. I came into the marriage very prideful. Katie, my wife, of almost 24 years, mom and dad divorced when she was a year and a half. Never her father remarried while Katie was growing up, and mom died single. So I came into the relationship thinking, I know a lot because my parents were awesome, and this lady knows nothing about marriage. But the problem is, the Bible says that when you are prideful, then you what? You stumble and you fall. But were your parents' best friend? Did they give you a good example? If they did not, you should pursue that. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes what? Wise. But the companion of fools will suffer what? Harm. Do you have friends? The companion of fools, there is people who are struggling in their marriage and they don't get advice from somebody who has a great marriage, who has a marriage, who they are best friends. They get advice from somebody who is married, divorced, and has no good marriage, or have no... And what is going to happen? The Bible says that whoever walks with the wise becomes what? Wise. But the companions of fools will suffer harm. Somebody came to me this week and told me, I know, Pastor, you have struggled in your life with anger management. And I am struggling with that. And that's why I come to you. I was listening to a message, and the pastor in that message said, you need to find somebody who struggles with the same things you're struggling. And so that's when. So that made me feel really good. No, it really made me feel good because I feel that God has helped me all these years. I have a problem with anger. It's like, whoo, I can go from 1 to 100 in less than a second. My blood boils, and I start building, and whatever I say gets, I feed myself. You know, you don't want to be, thank God for Katie, she knows me. You know. My kids know me, Dad. Huh? Liam told me, I was kind of mad at something last night about something that happened. I think you're feeding yourself anger, Dad. You know, so hard to be quiet. But the Bible says, the companion of fools will suffer what? Harm. When I read that this week, I feel the Holy Spirit talk to me and say, how much harm and suffering have you caused in Katie's life? It was straight to my heart. How much times have you made her cry? How many times have you not listened to me? How many times you call her name? So many, and I'm telling you, 24. It's been really way better in the last few years after a lot of counseling and a lot of change, especially from my side. But the Holy Spirit told me, how much harm and suffering have you caused in your wife? Am I a wise person? Minister to the foolish. Walk with the wise. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves what? At all times. And a brother is born for what? Adversity. When I read that scripture preparing this sermon, the Lord told me, are you a person that blesses your spouse, or are you a person that causes for your spouse adversity? Some people have married adversity. Everything is so hard. Everything is so complicated. Everything is a big problem. Friends don't work when one is the domineering one. Did you ever have a friend who tried to control you? How fun is that, huh? But we think that we are okay trying to control in our marriage. Everything has to go my way. Are you following me here today? That's why marriages are so destroyed. Because good friendships don't work with one trying always to control and dominate. And 70% of marriages say they want to have the best friend and the spouse, but they need Jesus. They need a new heart. They need to live by the faith and the same values, forgiveness. And only God can help us to really forgive our spouses. That's why, I'll stop there for a second. Many marriages cannot work because if you do this, I cannot forgive you. The truth is, what I'm saying is, I don't want to forgive you. I don't want to forgive you. I have not done this. You did this. That's it. But Christianity is all about what? About what? Forgiveness. And we all struggle with pride. I said this a few weeks ago. You never seen a humble march. All the march, pride march, pride march. You know, nobody marches down the street saying, it's my fault. I made the mistake. I need to change. I'm a mess. I'm prideful. I have a problem. Everybody marches with this. My right. And that's the root of the heart of Satan. He said, why is he only supposed to be worshipped? My right is that I should be somebody up here also. And we finish with the point of fun. Proverbs 15, 13, 19. It's important that we have fun in our marriage. Look at what the Bible says. A glad heart makes a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. A wise person is what hungry for knowledge, while the fool what feeds on trash. Trash entertainment, trash food, trash attitude. What do you get? A trash marriage. If you feed yourself on trash, you're going to have a trashed marriage. 15, for the despotent, the mean person, the evil person, the yelling, the arguing, the calling name, every day brings what? Trouble. But for the happy heart, life is what? A continual feast. Better to have little with the fear of the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. Above a vegetable, this is so true, with someone you love, and you say, no, I like steak. No, it's better than steak with someone you hate. Have you ever tried to eat a good meal with somebody you hate, and they're sitting in front of you, and you're trying to enjoy the meal, and you have to kind of talk to them now, because they just, have you ever tried that? It's horrible. I remember a while ago, years ago, I had to go to this lunch with somebody that I was having a hard time, and the food was awesome. And I was waiting just for the bill to be paid, and I was out of there. Have you ever been there? I'd rather eat vegetables and a good salad with my wife that day. Absolutely. But that's what the Bible says. A hot-tempered person starts what? Fight. Who starts the fight in your marriage? That was me. I hope I'm not there. Maybe I'm still there. A cold-tempered person stops them. A lazy person wastes is black with briers, but the path of the upright is an open highway. Fun is important because of Satan, what exists? Hell, amen? And because of Jesus, what exists? Heaven. One day in heaven, we're going to have a lot of, say it with me, a lot of what? Fun. God is for having fun. One day in heaven, we're going to have a lot of fun. God is preparing things for you to have fun that you have no idea. And so we have to have faith, friendship, forgiveness, and fun. But the devil is always throwing fire at us. We need to be the ones who starts fun in our marriages, because the devil is always starting war and hell in our marriage. Yes or no? We have to be the CEOs, men, husbands, or wife, whoever you want to pick. You need to be a CEO of fun in your family. I have a personal conviction. For many years, we tried to do all these remodelings in our home, and it's just something that our priorities have changed. We bought a camper. We used to have pop-ups and tents. We have a camper now, And we have the same old linoleum in the bathrooms for the last 17 years I've been living in this house. Some walls haven't been painted for 13 years. And why am I saying this? Because many, many years ago, I went to visit a friend of mine. And they were going, this family was going through hell. Really, really bad times. As soon as I walked into the house, he told me, let me show you something I did. He took me to the restroom, showed me all the money that he spent remodeling his restroom. And I got so mad, and I said to myself, I didn't say nothing to this person. I thought to myself, you really have all this extra money. I haven't seen you take a vacation with your family in years and years and years, decades. And you're spending the extra money to put new tile in your restroom? What did the family really need in that moment? Fun, amen? They needed a good vacation. They're still loving each other. They were still trying to build a marriage and the family. But if you don't become the CEO of fun in your family, you need to do that. Your kids are going to go away. I didn't want to buy that camper. And Katie's like, the kids are leaving, honey. The kids are leaving. We need to have something that we can go and have some fun. Because when you try to put six people in a hotel for 2 or 3 days, and food and everything else, it gets very expensive. But would you close your eyes there where you are? And I'm trying to help you how to have a good marriage. Friendship. Faith, forgiveness, which one is it you need the most? Fun, which one is it? Father, we come before you this morning, and I ask you to speak to every couple, every marriage, every husband and every wife in this room, Lord. What is the enemy producing? Is this like a couple where one of them is always killing the fun? Is this a couple that is unforgiveness? Is this a couple they don't have the same faith and principles in your wise word? Is this a couple where the friendship is totally gone? And maybe they craving that friendship, and maybe the devil is opening doors for them to be friendship and to get connection with the soul and the body with somebody else, Lord. I ask you that you would just please help us to have godly families and godly marriages. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.